NRI Wellness. We bring you the latest in health and nutrition information, create customized nutrition programs, and walk you through the process to ensure your success.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are in the world. And welcome to another fantastic episode of 10 Dimensions of Wellness. I am your host, the owner of NRI Wellness, Cami Red. Now, today is probably going to end up being one of my favorite shows. You guys who follow me online, who are a part of any of my groups, know how excited I was to have today's guest on my show. It is Tamika Morrow, nurse practitioner. You have seen her video all over my page, my groups. If you're any groups that I'm in, you've seen me post her video in there as well. So I know a lot of you have been waiting for September the 16th. That's the day that this interview drops. So I'm going to let Tamika Morrow tell us exactly how she got to this point, her journey to wellness, and then we're going to dive into the meat of this interview.
Well, thank you so much, Cami, for having me. I truly appreciate this opportunity and this honor to be able to share with your worldwide audience. So just a little bit about how I got into it. So I was, as a little kid, I was always interested in medicine. So that was my thing. I thought I wanted to be a surgeon. It all sounded good in theory. But as I went to undergrad, you know, and I started taking different courses, I started noticing that, you know, African-Americans were number one in this. They were number one in that. Like every disease you didn't want known to man. And so I remember at that time, I said, when I go to grad school, I'm gonna make sure I focus in on reversing, you know, that trend. You know, I was like, people are being, you know, sick and they don't necessarily have to be sick. So that was my passion. So I went off, decided to go to NP school, and that was my thing. Hey, all diabetics, I'm gonna make sure you don't go on dialysis. I'm gonna make sure you don't get your legs cut off. I'm gonna make sure you don't lose your vision. You know, so I was gung-ho about it. So then along the course, of my tenure, I was working with different practices, and it was just a whole bunch of patients that we had to see every day, and it was taken away from my passion because I couldn't necessarily reverse this disease, or I couldn't necessarily give the care that was necessary when I'm having to see 25, 30 patients in a day. So I decided to venture off on my own. So when I ventured off and I started my own practice, Synergy Health and Wellness, that was my focus. You know, hey, I'm gonna make sure people don't have heart attacks and strokes, you know, and I was really excited about that. And then one day, this is a pivotal point in my career. I had this one patient that came into the office and, you know, got her blood work back, and she was what they consider like a pre-diabetic. So blood sugar wasn't high enough to be considered diabetes, but it was high enough to be higher than the norm. And so at that moment, I went just straight traditional medicine approach. Hey, do this X, Y, and Z. Come back in 6 months. If it's not better, then we'll start you on a medication. And so the patient, well, she was young. She's like in her 30s. And so she left. And at that moment, I felt like I failed my patient. And I was like, Lord, why do I feel like I failed my patient? Like I followed the guidelines. I went according to the standards of care. Like, you know, what's the problem? And then that's when God actually revealed to me, he was like, you're waiting for her to get sick. And he said, they don't have to be sick. And I was like, okay, so how do you do that now, you know? And he said, I've given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. And I was like, so what is that you've given? And that's when he started talking about the leaves of the trees, the herbs, the fruit, and everything that he provided. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, well, teach me. And so at that moment, God began to open my mind to holistic wellness at its finest, at its core. And it was so amazing to me. So it's kind of like I went in initially thinking I was going to stop them from getting their legs cut off and losing their vision. But then God switched me to holistic wellness at its finest. So now it's not about just preserving your legs. It's about reversing chronic disease, because truly people don't have to be sick. So now my practice in wellness is all about identifying what is that root cause of diabetes? Why do you have diabetes? And if we can reverse it at the root, we can not only eliminate the symptoms, but we can also eliminate the disease. So that's where I'm at now. That's my passion. I'm totally amped and excited about it and seeing excellent outcomes with patients. So that's my journey.
Girl, listen, I'm over here and you guys can't see it, but I'm just smiling from ear to ear listening to Tamika's journey. And let me just say this. Your journey was, I'm not going to say similar to mine. Mine came by way of me having breast cancer, but it was pretty much the same way. I've been a chef for 20 years, so I was always feeding people. Mm-hmm. And when I got sick, you know, I went the traditional route of medicine, chemo, all of that. And I thought to myself, there's got to be a better way. And, you know, when you're in those moments, you do draw on God. You ask him to show you. And he does say exactly what you said. And he said, I've given you the tools. You know exactly what to do with food. You have the know-how. You know how to help people. So I did like you. I was like, well, okay, will teach me. I was given the resources, the classes. I was able to get my diploma in herbalism. I was able I was out here. I'm out here doing the same thing you're doing. Diabetic education, heart health classes, but I'm doing it through the same way that I learned, through food, through, you know, herbs of the earth, everything. So listening to your story, I'm sitting over here, I'm like, oh my God, yes!
The leaves of the trees are for the healing of nations, right?
Yes, ma'am. So I totally get it. Now, let me ask you a few things that you actually said. You said you felt like you failed your patient at one point. Did you ever reach back out to that particular patient to, you know, sort of guide her and coach her in a different manner? Because I noticed a lot lately that with patient care, we especially in, you know, just traditional settings, they gloss over the, you know, the root causes. I was so excited when you said that. Like, traditional medicine treats the symptoms. So how were you able to, you know, draw her back in? Because that can actually be a turnoff to some patients. How were you able to draw her back in and help her further?
Yeah, so the thing is, traditional medicine, the medical field is a scam. And I'm sorry to put that on your show, but it is.
Girl, don't be sorry. That's what the show is about.
Running everything. Seriously, pharma is running everything. If you look at traditional medicine, in our training, they don't teach us to go to the root, to look at the root cause. They say, hey, here's a symptom, either give a medication for it or do surgery. I mean, and that's all they teach us. Knowing that these medications is going to lead to other issues, which is going to require other medications. And so it become like this horrible domino effect. But that's just a traditional medicine, you know, at no fault really to the clinicians, because that's how they're trained until they all have their epiphany and they wake up an aha moment to come out and do something different. So with my patient, I called her back and like really the Lord revealed to me some things for her to do. And I called her back and I said, hey, you know, can you come back in, make an appointment this week or whatever? You know, I'd like to review, you know, your case again and give you a better plan. And she said, okay. And so when she came in, I said, hey, I realized that I failed you. Like, I let you walk out of here with something that was a perceived, you know, threat. I said, but it doesn't have to be that way. I was like, so if you're willing, you know, I mapped out this plan that instead of waiting for the blood sugars to go up, we can reverse this whole thing where you would never even have to see diabetes a day in your life. And she said, okay. And so we went to it. And the biggest thing that we use, Chef Cammy, is food. Oh my God. Food is medicine. Like, truly. I mean, you can eat your way to health. Or you can
eat your way into disease. Yes. Like, people don't understand that. Like,
it's so imperative.
We have to, I literally teach people to change their mindset about food.
Yes.
I lived out west for an extended period of time, and that's where I got a lot of my knowledge and know-how. Mm-hmm. It was super important to me that I moved back to the south to mm-hmm. talk to people who grew up like me mm-hmm. about food. I actually tried to show people and tell them that, you know, you can eat some of the same things that you're used to eating. I eat banana pudding, but I don't eat it the same way that you do. Exactly. I have a much more different way and approach to eat mm-hmm. banana pudding, but that's because I'm a chef. But I can teach you how to exactly. do the same thing exactly. that I'm doing. So I was really, yeah, I was really grateful.
Great time to be healthy. They have so many alternatives out here where you don't feel have to feel like you're neglecting yourself from getting your favorite delicacy or your favorite treat. So
or missing anything. Yes.
I mean, this is an excellent time to be healthy.
There are so many alternatives out here. I remember when I first got my gluten-free certification and I first started working for the Orlando Magic back, it was a while ago. It was really hard to find gluten-free items in the store. Yeah. Whereas now, that's on every shelf, that's everywhere, that's in Walmart. Yeah, that's at your Dollar General store. It's at Family Dollar. Like, there is no excuse now. So when I say to people, literally, you have no excuse not to eat healthy. You can go in the grocery store and buy fresh produce. There's not an excuse for doing that. Like, it's not like it's not. I know there are some food deserts out there, but what I've learned is that Walmart is a resource in a lot of areas. I don't know if people know this or not, but you can actually utilize your food stamps online on Walmart's grocery store site. So again, no excuse. You get what I'm saying?
I was about to say, you can do it online if you did live in a food desert. You know, they got a lot of different, like HelloFresh, like all those different things out there where you can order actually nice organic produce online and have it shipped to your house. So we have access now. So we can't use that as an excuse anymore.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So tell me one thing people generally misunderstand about you when you're trying to help them out and get them into their own personal wellness journey.
I think one thing that they misunderstand, I'm trying to think, what would be the... I think it's just misunderstood in regards to, I don't know. That's a tough question. Cause it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't really know how to answer that question. Cause I know for the most part.
Is it a misunderstanding of the process, a misunderstanding of just.
They actually, after I talk to them,
okay.
I explain it to them, you know, I find them very open to it.
That's very true.
Yeah, they're like very open and then they're willing to, you know, go the journey, you know. And the name is Synergy, right? So I say we work together.
Yes.
So I make myself accessible to my patients, you know. So that way if they have questions along the journey, they can reach out to me. They can text me, you know, they can call. They can shoot me an email, whichever is their best way of, you know, communication. And I'm actually walking with them along this journey. So, I haven't, like, the initial thing, they'd be like, oh my God, you're going to take away all my good stuff, you know? And I'm like, actually, no, I like to eat. I don't do services to the plan, so you ain't got to worry about that.
So, I'm an RDN. So when I go in, that's what the first thing that patients say to me. And I look at them and I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
We're gonna figure this out. We're gonna work on this together.
I ain't on no rabbit diet. I like to eat too. We just
that don't go healthy.
You can't worry about that with me. We gonna all eat and enjoy this food.
And I actually tell them, I'm like, listen, I'm Southern, okay? Like, you know, it's certain things that I can't go without either. So I understand where you're coming from. So I'm going to show you how to transition and pivot.
Exactly.
We're gonna do this together. And I also show people, you know, my wellness journey. It wasn't just with breast cancer. I was overweight. I was obese. I was wearing a size 24.
No way.
Yes, way. Yes. Yeah, like, I tell people that was before I even got sick. I was wearing a size 24. I lost the weight and then I got sick. So I often tell people that my journey, it was a battle for both for me. Mm-hmm. It was a battle of weight, and it was also a battle for my life with a deadly disease. Right. So I can speak to you from different perspectives. Yes, I went the long haul. I ate healthy. I worked out. I did what I was supposed to do because high blood pressure and high cholesterol run in my family. Right. And the one thing I refused to do was take medication.
Right.
So I was going to do whatever it took mm-hmm. so that I could, you know, I didn't want to be on medicine. That was the one thing I did not want. I didn't want to be on medicine, and I never wanted to be diagnosed as pre-diabetic or diabetic.
Exactly.
Yeah. But
I know one of the things too that helps patients out a lot is once they actually start changing how they're eating and they feel so much better, and then they go and reintroduce that poison back into their diet, they get the opportunity to see Tamika was making up stuff. Like, yes. It's real. I feel horrible when I ate that. Yeah. Girl, it's some more motivation, and they understand it. You know, there's like, okay, it's like that light bulb click on. So it's not some cliche fad that she's doing. Like, this is real.
Yes. Now, let me ask you this. What are some common myths that you have to dispel amongst your patients outside of the fact that they think you're going to take away their good stuff? Right.
Some common myths that I always have to dispel is this runs in my family, so it's going to happen to me. You know, that's always number one. Like, I can't, look, my mom had it, my sisters got it, my grandma had it. I'm going to have it, you know.
No, but didn't you hear what I just said? I worked to make sure that I didn't have it. So exactly. You know that when I hear people say that same thing, I just look at them like,
right. Seriously. And it's genetic. Okay, you may have genes, but there's a way where you can stop those genes from expressing themselves. It's like, so I'm going to teach you how to stop that gene from expressing so you never have to have that as part of your life. But that's the biggest one. And then another one, patients are hilarious. So they'll come in and, you know, have 50,000 different diagnoses for 50,000 different pills. And they think day one, when they start the plan, they come off the pills right away. I said, no, it don't work that way. I was like, well, you said, let's get you to follow it. I said, your body been on this course of disease all this time. And just because you go eat right one meal, that ain't going to stop it that one day.
I said, no.
First, all that damage that was done and reset your body and put it back on that path of wellness. I said, that's going to take some time. I said, but just walk with me. You shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Girl, listen. Like you told me earlier, you preaching to the choir. You know, like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so in love with you. Like, everything you are saying is literally like it's coming out of my own mouth. So wow. I'm like, wow, I can't wait. Like, I'm so excited about this interview. You have no idea. Now, Tamika, from a medical perspective, what do you think the biggest failure you've seen this past year, and why do you think that has happened?
I would say the biggest failure is how we mishandled this whole disease and pandemic. And the reason why I would say that is, remember, I'm big on holistic, right? So I'm not just looking at one thing, but just looking at it from an overall picture.
And you, let me say this, you're not just being on holistic, you actually have a medical background. So this is a two-sided view standpoint. It's not just from, like me, I would be a holistic view standpoint only. Whereas your background gives you insight from traditional medicine and that insight from the holistic standpoint as well.
Correct, definitely. But when we look at it, so I'm gonna just kind of rewind you and walk you along this journey, if that's okay. So this whole thing of coronavirus that we're experiencing right now is really not new. You know, coronavirus has been out years ago. And so how it became to where it is now, so there's this particular type of research they did, you know, called gain of function studies. Dr. Fauci is big on that. He's the main scientist, you know, that's always been behind it. But they did it before, back with the H1N1, and then he started doing the coronavirus. His whole premise was, if, you know, this particular virus was ever used as chemical warfare, we will be in a position to be able to shut it down so it won't impact the nation. That was his whole premise. So a few years ago, they were manipulating this coronavirus at the CDC here in America. And then what ended up happening was you had over 200 scientists decide to pull out of the studies, this type of research, because they said it was unethical. And the reason why it was unethical, they said, because one misstep, we can cause a global pandemic. And so what ended up happening, the CDC shut it down, the US government stopped funding it. Fauci said, no, I still want to do it. So he partnered up with a scientist over in China at the Wuhan lab. And so henceforth, now we're here, we're at this global pandemic. So when you're talking about, when I say the mishandling of the virus was the biggest mistake, it's because Dr. Fauci, being the chief infectious disease doctor in America, is well-versed in this virus. He's been studying it for years, at least dating back at least the last 5 to 7 years. He's been studying this for years. So you can't tell me, Fauci, who's been studying this for years, that you don't know what to do in the midst of this pandemic. And when you see all of the different, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, touch, don't touch, hand sanitize, don't hand sanitize. When you see all of that, you guys would know, but that's how you know that there's a bigger agenda at work than what the natural eye can see. Because he knows, he studied this virus in and out, and this virus could have been shut down a long time ago. But like I said, there's a bigger agenda at work, and that's, at the end of the day, we'll talk about later, this vaccine.
So okay.
The biggest misstep.
So tell us a little bit more about some of the things that you think happened during the mishandling of this situation. Like, for instance, they gave out a lot of numbers about, you know, African-American being the highest rate of cases, us being susceptible for this. Why do you think they were, you know, putting that out there for us?
So, like I said, Fauci knows all about this virus. He is not brand new to this virus and what this virus does, the whole chemical background. He's not, you know, new to this. He's not brand new. So the thing was, when the virus first hit, whatever, when they look at the numbers, originally they weren't even testing everybody. So you got to follow their plot and their scheme, right? So if the initial thing with the virus was to incite fear, because like I said, they already have this destined end that they're trying to push everybody to, which is this vaccine. So if the initial thing is to incite fear, you have to show that it's going to cost people lives, right? So what they did when the virus first hit, they weren't testing everybody. Everybody couldn't get tested. The only people that they were allowing to get tested were those who were sick enough that had to be admitted to the hospital. And so what they did, once you got into the hospital, they changed the standards of care to, instead of doing normal treatment that's life-sustaining, like oxygen and BiPAPs, they made everybody go on ventilators. And because for us clinicians, I mean, this was kind of new for us, we just trusted whatever Fauci and CDC was saying at the time, right? So they're putting everybody on ventilators. When you look at the studies and the research, ventilators themselves already show to cause trauma to the lungs. It shows the increased risk of infections like pneumonia and sepsis. And those are the things people were really dying from, and not necessarily coronavirus. But so you already knew that also the sedation that's used, most elderly people won't be able to make it through that sedation, even, you know, if they were trying to come out of it alive, the sedation alone was killing the elderly. So you already know this about this particular thing. So what you do is incite fear. You make the clinicians seem like this is something new that's poorly understood.
So they drove up the number of coronavirus deaths.
Oh, yes. And so with the deaths. And so if you're only testing the sickest ones and you put a standards in place you know what I'm saying, that you know gonna kill them, what that's gonna show is it's gonna give a narrative that this is a deadly virus. That's the narrative that it's gonna put out there, that this virus is deadly. And so then, after they made that thing, it's like, okay, we got everybody scared, right? So now what we're gonna do is start allowing other people get tested now. Everybody can start getting tested because now they need to show these numbers are being magnified and look at all the people that it's impacting, and African-Americans, they're the hardest hit. When you truly look at the numbers, more white people have died and been infected with coronavirus than African-Americans.
That is what I actually saw when I started looking, not even just at the numbers, but if you look at what the media reports, and that's just a tiny inkling of what, you know, is actually going on. The deaths that they were actually reporting more of were more white people than us.
Exactly. And so when you go back into the hospital element, the clinicians at the hospital were being told they had to put coronavirus as the cause of death. They were told that by the administration because they were promising to give the hospitals more money if they said the death was related to COVID. And the thing is, I remember talking to some of my colleagues who work in the hospital, and they were like, it wasn't COVID that this patient had. Like, this patient didn't die for COVID, but they were forced to be and put that on the death certificates and even given paid more money to put them on vents.
I have an example of that. My neighbor, she had been in the hospital. She has heart issues. Mm-hmm. She had been in the hospital before this pandemic happened. She's been in the hospital in the midst of this pandemic. She died about 2 months ago. And let me say this, during the midst of this pandemic, every time she went into the hospital, she tested negative for COVID. Okay. When she died, what do you think they put on her death certificate?
You have got to be kidding me. Are you serious?
Yep. COVID related symptoms.
Wow. So now you see that's something that, you know, that's been happening, right?
Yeah. I knew that anyway, because like you, I am very familiar with patient care and treatment. So when you tell me ventilator and you start going through, you know, how these people are dying, and it's not really, it's almost like what they do with HIV. People don't die from the disease. They die from symptoms related to the disease. And what they were doing with putting people on the ventilator was inflaming the symptoms related to that particular disease. With COVID. Mm-hmm. Yep. And causing more deaths than actually doing a proper treatment of care and wanting people to heal.
Right. And speaking of treatment of care, I mean, Cammie, I don't know how much time we have. Oh my gosh.
Girl, you got time. You just, yes. Talk on. You got time.
I have to tell everybody this because I really, truly, I myself can do as many podcasts or Facebook Live videos, fussing with pharmacists, doing whatever I can. But until we all come together as a unified front, change can be difficult to happen. So talking about treatment, that medication, and I have to put this out here, I'm not political. This has nothing to do with politics. This is from what I know to be true.
And we haven't even mentioned, we haven't said anything about political anything at this point.
I'm just going to say that because what I'm saying is, people's like, oh, is this political? So the medication, hydroxychloroquine, it does work. And let me tell you about that. So when this whole thing happened, and by the way, coronavirus was here before March. I remember last year,
we released
into this air,
but
nobody was dying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and that nobody
had it under different names. They had vape disease. They had different types of things that they were calling it.
No, even that though, it was, as a clinician myself, you know, it was patients coming in that had these weird symptoms.
Yep.
It was a virus, but it didn't fit in the cold category, didn't fit in the infection, didn't fit in the flu category. So I was like, hey, it's this weird virus. Look, let's just boost your immune system. This too gonna pass.
Yes. Okay.
And, I mean, seriously. I mean, and it was lasting like 2 to 3 weeks. And I'm like, what the crap that they release out into this atmosphere? Like, this atmosphere that's causing these weird symptoms. So it was going on at that time. And the funny thing is, my friends who are hospitalists, they was like, you know, they were getting some of those patients in the hospital, but they were giving them the regular treatment, you know, like those that went to respiratory distress, giving them, putting them on BiPAPs. And within 48, 72 hours, they was great and was better and was sent home. No hospitals was getting shut down because the whole staff was sick. You know, none of that stuff was going on. And now when they put the label, oh, is this, now all of a sudden this big stir going on. That's another reason why you know it's fake. But going back to the whole hydroxychloroquine, that particular drug is a very, very old drug, decades old, like 60 plus years old. And this particular drug was researched and studied back in the study was published in 2005. So back there in that time, it was another coronavirus that was out called SARS and MERS. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but it was a systemic, you know, inflammatory respiratory disease.
That's what I actually told somebody. I said, there have been worse diseases under the coronavirus name than what we're experiencing now.
And
that
way, the cold, the common cold is
the coronavirus.
Just FYI, everybody.
Yeah. I told people that because I was like, you do realize that all of those diseases did not cause us to go into a shutdown or a pandemic the way that this did.
Right. So with that when SARS and MERS was out, which is the coronavirus, they researched and studied hydroxychloroquine at that time. It was published by the National Institutes of Health back in 2005. And what they found from the research is that hydroxychloroquine works to not only treat coronavirus patients, but also to prevent the infection. So if the patients were to take it as a preventative measure, if they were in like a high-risk population or group of people, they can prevent getting the infection. And if you treated them early, so if they came and they had symptoms early on, then it did work. And so then, so when it comes out, they try to say, oh, well, we can't use that because we don't have any research to or evidence to back that. That evidence been out.
And okay, so you know what? This is where I'm getting ready to say, this is where it got political, it sounds like to me. It sounds like the research that would have been out was what was given to our current president. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was trying to express in
So the thing was, how it got political, it wasn't necessarily the access to use the drug that was political. It was people's mindsets. And unfortunately, our people, you know what I'm saying? Because whatever your feelings are for Trump, you would choose not to want to take something that he's singing praise about just because he said it. And the horrible part about it is it works. So the reason why it wasn't utilized is more going back to finances. So I'm gonna kind of lay that out in a second. Because even then, when it all hit per se, you had countries like France, South Korea, even China, they did their studies on the patients who tested positive and they fought it to turn it around like rapidly. And so then they still say, oh, well, that's not enough. So what happened at that time, the person that was over FDA, it was a guy named Rick Bright. And so he had this emergency use authorization for us as clinicians to be able to use the drug. But then they took it away. So they took the drug away and said we couldn't use it, talk about it, wasn't any evidence. And then they started putting out these fake studies. They put out fake studies that they end up having to retract because they couldn't even identify those patients. And the fake studies was to show that hydroxychloroquine didn't work. So they put out fake studies. And then they started putting out other bogus studies where they were giving people toxic levels of the medication to precipitate a cardiovascular event to say that it did cause a cardiac arrhythmia. Then they put out another fake study, but they gave it to them late in the disease and say, oh, it don't work. We already knew it didn't work late in the disease. So during this whole time, I'm sitting there as a frontliner, a primary care provider, whose patients coming to me, you know, who are ill and who do have certain risk factors. And I want to give them a drug that now we're getting love letters, at least in the state of Michigan, that said that if we prescribe this medication, that they were going to put administrative action out against our licenses. And then they came back with another letter because people like myself, like, bump y'all, I got to take care of my patients. Then they came out with another letter and they said they empowered the pharmacists not to fill our prescriptions. And they told the pharmacists, if we send in a prescription for hydroxychloroquine, to report us to the state licensing board. And then also they were threatening the pharmacist's license if they filled it. So I said, oh, heck no. Never in all my years have I heard of anything like that. I talked to other physicians that are older than me, and they said never in all their years have they heard of anything like that. So when you look at the fact of fear, Then you look at the fact that they're taking away something that works. You know there's a bigger agenda. And then come to find out the guy, Rick Breyer, FDA, who took away our right to use the medication, he was leading this group called BARDA. I forgot what it stands for. But they were the ones who were producing the drug remdesivir, as well as starting the vaccine studies or whatever, right? Remdesivir is the drug that they use in the hospital for coronavirus right now. So think about it. Going back, so like I said before, it was political. It was always about money. So you're going back, if we give people a drug that we all know really do work, then they won't A, use this remdesivir that we done pumped all this money into, and they won't B, take this vaccine because they'll have no need for it. At the end of the day, they all invested this money and they want their money back. They want their return on their investment at people's expense. And that's the part that boils me to no end. And that's the part that makes me upset. So one of the things I would say to the African-American communities, don't allow Donald Trump and anybody else that you may not like skew your mindset against something that can work for you. Hydroxychloroquine is an old drug. It don't cause all them issues like they said. All drugs got side effects. But the fact of the matter is you're only going to be taking that drug for 5 to 7 days. That ain't long enough to give you no type of side effect for real, you know?
No, it's not even, it's literally long enough for the drug to do its job and not even set up residence in your body.
Exactly. And so don't allow, just because Trump was saying hydroxychloroquine, don't allow that to make you have a sour taste of something that really worked. And don't allow that to make you believe some false data and false science out here to make it seem like that drug is so bad for you and now you think he's trying to kill you. Don't buy into that hype at all whatsoever. So all that, like I said, was a part of the issue. And then when it came to African-Americans, like I said, more whites are being infected with the virus. More whites are dying from the virus. The reason why I say all these African-Americans had issues, it was usually around like 30% of the people that were infected were African-Americans. So they look on a population size. Well, if African-Americans only make up 12 to 13% of the population and 30% of the cases were them, it's big in their group. But one thing I would say about that is that one thing that they noticed, they did a study over in Italy, and there was a part of Italy that those particular residents had high vitamin D levels. And then there was another part of Italy where they had low vitamin D levels. So when coronavirus broke out in Italy, they realized that the people who had the low vitamin D levels, that was the area that got impacted hard. But the other area where people didn't, where they had high vitamin D levels, it wouldn't have many cases. So
we'll see.
African Americans, majority of all of us are vitamin D deficient.
Yes, and that's why they, I don't know if people listen, but I know I was one of those people that was telling people that we needed to get enough sunlight. Like, one of the ways to combat this holistically was making sure you were spending a certain amount of time outside in the sun.
But the only problem with that, Cammy, though, the only problem with that is the melanin. You know, that's the stuff that the pigmentation that gives us our color, right? That melanin, so we can be out in the sun all day and have a construction job. We're out there all day.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is our melanin basically shields us from absorbing the vitamin D from the sun. So even in that, no matter how much sun exposure you got, you're still vitamin D deficient.
D deficient, yeah.
You'll need vitamin D supplementation. They even, another study just came out recently, last week, where it was done in Spain. And they wanted to see, is it really a connection between vitamin D and this coronavirus? So when patients were admitted into the ICU in Spain with coronavirus, what they did is gave them loading doses of vitamin D. The patients that got the vitamin D turned around within a couple of days, turned around just like that. Were the ones that didn't get the vitamin D, you know, the whole virus ran a full course. But the vitamin D, exactly, shown to be effective. So as African-Americans, some of the things that we can do to empower ourselves to stay healthy and live and enjoy our life and not be paralyzed by fear, take some vitamin D.
Take more vitamin D. Yes.
Yes, every day. Take some vitamin D. So like I said, once again, we don't have to be sick.
No, we don't have to be sick.
This is a 2-second nutrition tip. Today's tip is pack a nutritious lunch to bring to work every single day for at least a week. Then try it again the next week. Let me know how it goes. This has been a 2-second nutrition tip.
NRI Wellness brings you the latest health and nutrition information, creates customized nutrition programs, and walks you through the process to ensure your success.
All right, Tamika. So we've talked about the disease. We talked about the pandemic. Let's talk about the vaccine. Tell us what your thoughts on that are and what we need to be looking out for.
Don't take the vaccine. That's my big thought. Stay far, far away from this vaccine. So let's look at the vaccine. Let's break it down a little bit. So vaccines in general usually take years, like literally years to make it, okay? Because they really have to make sure it's safe, and they also got to make sure it's effective. And typically what they usually do is do it on animal trials first to make sure that the animals didn't respond well and to be able to watch it after a course of time to make sure there's no type of unusual or abnormal response to it. So this particular vaccine, they're trying to push it through in less than a year. Problem with this vaccine, there are a lot of problems with this vaccine. First of all, to go back a little bit in history, they tried doing a coronavirus vaccine before in the past. And what happened when they tried that back in the past and they were doing it on the animal studies, they found out that this particular vaccine caused such a strong, crazy inflammatory immune response that it was killing off a lot of the animals that got it. So when the animals actually came in contact with the virus, I mean, the inflammatory immune response was so strong that it killed off the animals, not only the older animals, but also the younger animals that was a participant in the study as well too. So what they concluded at this time that this is not safe to create a vaccine for the coronavirus. The virus itself was just too unstable and the immune response that was triggered was just too great. And then what they also concluded was that it wouldn't be possible to even formulate a good vaccine for the coronavirus because they call it a zoonotic type of pathogen, you know, which means it's spread from animal to animal, so it's just out there. So it'd be hard to actually get a vaccine that's going to be effective and to work. So that's that. So now we fast forward here, and now they want to push this vaccine again, and they got all these big pharmaceutical companies all getting, you know, paid billions of dollars to try to, you know, get this vaccine. The problem with this vaccine is they're using a technology that has never been used in human beings before. So never been used in humans. So what they're doing, this particular technology, they're using, it's called the messenger RNA. So what that's going to do is go in and it's going to rewrite your own DNA with virus substance, virus genetic material. So you won't even be fully the person that you really are, to be honest with you, because now your DNA at the genetic level is being rewritten by this virus strain that they've given you. And the horrible part about that, so what they've been doing with these early trials, these early phase one, phase two, they've been saying, oh, it's working. We got an immune response. Let me help everybody understand that. So what they're trying to sell you is that from the beginning trials, they got an immune response, so it works. So they're trying to make you think it works. But let me help you understand something. Anything that goes into your body that's not supposed to be there will trigger an immune response. Anything that goes in your body, whether it's a food that you're allergic to, whether it's dairy is not our friends. You put that into your body, it's going to trigger an immune response. Period, point blank, okay? So that's one thing. So just because they say it triggers an immune response, don't applaud that as something good. That's what the normal healthy immune system is supposed to do. The other element about it is they were looking at the antibodies. So they looked at antibodies of people who were infected with coronavirus over time, okay? And what they found that after about 4 or 5 months, if they go and recheck them, the antibodies were not there. So now you got to look at that. So the whole element of the vaccine is to trigger the immune system to build antibodies against this foreign agent, right? But what we've known, so you got something called passive immunity, you got something called active immunity. One is given through vaccine, one is given by actual exposure, right? So the fact of the matter is that the people who are actually exposed to the disease or infection and were infected with it, the antibodies did not stick. Which means when they give you this vaccine to create this antibodies, the antibodies are not staying around. So once again, you're going to be getting a vaccine, if you choose to do it, that one has never been used on humans, has not been studied on animal models. And the reason why they won't study it on animal models is because they already know how deadly it is. And so that's the reason why. I don't think that they're trying to do something for human good. They're not thinking about human good right now. And then also the antibodies don't stick around. So what I'm saying about that is not going to even work. Okay, so that's all part of the issue with the vaccine. One of the actual, and also the other thing I want everybody to know too, one thing we know about the coronavirus, it is an inflammatory virus. It causes a lot of systemic inflammation in the body. So why do you want to go and put something in the body to trigger more inflammation like that at that level that can make you even sicker? When we talk about inflammation, inflammation is behind majority of all chronic diseases, including cancer. So now one of the AstraZeneca, that was one of the pharmaceutical companies who were doing these trials. They had to stop their trials because one of the participants ended up developing this crazy inflammatory response that impacted their neurological system. So they shut it down, the patient is hospitalized. But just FYI, this stuff can happen. So when I say don't take this vaccine, don't take this vaccine. When you know there are some things that you can do, like taking vitamin D, zinc is something I always recommend as well. Wash your hands, cover your mouth. I mean, standard, typical things that can prevent spread.
I have a question for you. You just said something that sparked something in me. A while back, they were saying that coronavirus patients in the hospitals were having a neurological response to the disease. Mm-hmm. Do you think that those particular cases, and this is just an opinion based, I'm asking you just strictly based on your opinion, not, you know, facts or anything, just trying to tie some strings together.
Uh-oh, you went out.
I'm sorry, just trying to tie some strings together, because like we stated earlier, nothing that we were told we can hold to be true anymore. So when you were describing some of the vaccine symptoms or some of the things that had occurred when they gave these vaccines, one of the things, like I stated, that they said was that coronaviruses were, some people were developing neurological symptoms. Do you think at that time they were testing the vaccine on some of these patients?
No, I don't think so. What they were testing was those trial drugs, remdesivir. So that was something that patients were probably being enrolled into trials for this new medication that they weren't even aware that they were being enrolled into that trial. So I don't think they were testing the vaccine out, but I do believe that they still are testing out that drug remdesivir, which is a problem because that drug remdesivir is totally new. We don't know what any of the long-term side effects of that medication would be at all whatsoever. And from the preliminary reports that came out, it was causing liver failure in a lot of people. But one thing I want to say, Cammy, coronavirus is not as drastic as the picture they're trying to paint. Because when you look at the numbers, truly, it's not that many people that has been infected with coronavirus, even from the numbers that they put out, okay? When you look at, I talk about the flu season, you go to a flu season is a short season. You know,
I was gonna say more people died from the flu.
Right, and people were infected with the flu as well.
Yeah.
Coronavirus, now we've been playing with it at least for 6 months, and you still don't have the same numbers of infected people with coronavirus that you do from the flu.
From the flu, yep.
Every year. And not only that, there are some places where they're making people retest, right? And so there, every time, like if a patient's in the hospital and they test them to say they test positive, and if they go repeat test, may test positive, they're counting each time that patient tests positive as a positive case. And that was
Girl, stop playing. So no. These are not,
the numbers are padded. There is not real. And then on top of that, so you got to remember that. And then when you look at the actual number of people that died, it's not really that many people that's dying. Like, seriously, more than 99% of the people who get infected with coronavirus walk away just fine. It is a virus. You know, it may take 3 weeks to go away, but it is a virus. Most people go away. And if you could look at the little bit of percent of people that died, it wasn't always from the coronavirus. It was from complications, or it was because the piss poor standards of care that they were given, putting people on vents they knew would kill people.
Yeah.
It's sickening to me that they can paralyze people with this much fear, shut down a whole world, and they're not even thinking about the deaths that we're losing from suicide. because of the fear and panic that set in. They're not thinking about the domestic violence that's on the rise.
The child abuse.
The child abuse and the children being locked in the house with their predator. They're not thinking about that. And as a business owner, Cammy, I know you can relate to this. They're not thinking about the business owners whose business had to shut down. For people who are not business owners, you may not understand it. When you put your blood, sweat, and tears into something,
and you got to shut it down.
That's preventable, and it didn't have to be.
And what's crazy is, as a wellness business owner, to know that this didn't have to happen.
It did not have to happen.
It makes it worse because, like, I'm walking around, like, I make supplements. So, like, yesterday I went and did all of my deliveries and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the post office, and the lady was like, "What are all of these for?" And I said, "They're to help people build their immune system."
Right.
Seriously. And she was like, she said, "You shipping them out?" I said, "Yeah, this is my job. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is my business." She said, "Well, did your business fail any during this?" I said, "Absolutely. If you are a business owner, I don't care what business you are in, you had to pivot. If you are a good business owner, you had to figure out how to pivot during this situation."
Had to. And it's sad. And they're not looking at the number of jobs that has been lost because the businesses are closed.
And that still hasn't been recovered from either. Absolutely at not. This point.
The businesses no longer exist. You know what I'm saying?
You got so many businesses that shut down. And these are not just small businesses that shut down. These are some major corporations that shut down.
Major. And then on top of that, they're not looking at so Express Scripts. They put out this thing, I want to say back in April or May, and they said it was greater than 70% of all of their prescriptions for anxiety and depression and insomnia were for new patients. New patients. So people who weren't anxious and depressed and couldn't sleep before, they couldn't sleep now. So you're looking at that. And when you look at it from that standpoint, the mental health and the anguish that is putting on people, they're not looking at. They're not looking at the fact that people can't sleep. And if people are losing sleep, that's depressing their immune system. Then you locking people up in the house, people going crazy. People with chronic pain syndromes who have been doing excellent are now having crazy flare-ups. Mental health people are having crazy flare-ups, but all these places are shut down. They can't get
well, the Well, let me tell you something. They released the numbers of COVID deaths, but what they didn't release was the number of suicides during this pandemic.
Exactly.
They haven't talked about
right now that we are deaths from Corona.
Yeah. There have been an increase in domestic violence deaths. There have been an increase in child abuse charges. Yeah. We are reading about more child abuse charges now than we have before.
Think about that, Cammy. Think about that. Think about the trauma that people are going through right now.
Yeah.
That trauma is going to last much longer than this virus. If they got that lasts only 2 to 3 weeks.
Listen, let me say this to you. People will be talking about 2020 for the next 20 years or so. So they're going to be reliving this experience, telling their children how they grew up through this. Like, this is going to go down in history.
Don't sleep. The kids are also having some traumatic experience from this.
This virtual learning stuff is killing our children.
Exactly. Kids, that's not a good platform for a lot of people to learn. So now they're going to be falling back on education. Kids grow and develop with their peers. That's part of their overall healthy development. Now you done took them away from their peers. You're making kids think it's not safe to touch. Physical touch, intimacy is part of the human experience.
It's part of our well-being. We thrive off of that. Yeah.
And now you're teaching them and putting these images in their mind that that's not okay anymore. So think about the possible PTSD that even our kids will suffer from as a result over something that don't have to be. And I'm just so pissed off for lack of better
word. No, that's in essence the best way to describe it, because here's the thing. We live in a society where we are extremely social. Our children, we're teaching our kids to look past differences, to be social with other people. But now we're teaching our kids to social distance, not be around people who are different from you, not go outside your house.
We're teaching our kids fear.
Yes.
The Bible said fear have torment. So we're tormenting our kids right now, pushing all this fear for something that's not even real. And that bothers me.
That bothers me too. I read an article the other day about this lady. She was just fighting her government to let the kids back in school because her son had autism. And she was seeing him develop really well with his autism at school, but now she'd seen him revert back to some really horrible behaviors being locked in his home. So this is traumatizing everybody across the board.
And think about, Cammie, think about the, because another thing they don't consider is the single moms. The single moms who got to work one and two jobs to keep a roof over their baby heads and to feed their babies. So now you're mandating everybody stay at home. Who going to teach their children? You know, what if they got all small kids? Who's going to be there? Daycare?
No, see, but that's what they didn't think about. They can't go to work.
Community.
You're not even considering that. You don't have daycare, so you can't go to work. If you got small kids and you don't have a support system, there's nobody to watch your children, which means that your job is at risk.
Exactly. And they're not even considering that cost. And now they out of a job. Now, how are they going to take care of their family? You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole thing is sickening to me. And it don't have to be this way?
It's not even just that. Now you're about to have a whole population of homeless people as well. Because now they're about to list... they're about to lift this eviction bubble. So now everybody who was unable to pay their rent during these times and have not been able to catch up on it, they're at risk for losing their homes right now.
Exactly. And we already can't even manage the homeless population we already have. And so it's that type of stuff. So you mean to tell me that if you look at the benefit risk ratio, you think it's more beneficial for people to be locked up in the homes and doing all this stupid stuff that you're doing for a virus that majority of everybody gonna get over in 2 to 3 weeks? Instead of pushing the narrative to take some vitamin D, take some zinc. Zinc stops the virus from replicating if you do get infected with the zinc or with the virus. Take vitamin D, take zinc, take some vitamin C, stay away from dairy, stay hydrated, get some rest, enjoy your relationships. You know what I'm saying? That should be the narrative that should be pushed out instead of everybody lock up. Oh my God, don't go out Labor Day weekend. Like, all that is crazy. And they know it's crazy.
Well, see, I think that's what a lot of the younger generations were trying to prove also in the fact that they were saying, listen, we hear what you're saying, but also we're putting ourselves in these predicaments to prove your theories wrong. Because that's in essence what they were doing. They were going out, they were hanging out, they were showing that you can be around thousands of people and still have a low probability rate, a low rate of people actually getting this disease, a low rate of contraction, a low rate. Like, I'll say this. I saw an article where they had something at Fireside. I think it was Fireside Beach in New Jersey. There were people there that admittedly had COVID. And not hear anything about a breakout. You didn't hear anything about a certain number of people developing this. What you heard were people criticizing a couple of people who had COVID because they were there.
Right. And that's another thing I'll say. It can be a million parties going on, but the only thing you'll hear on the media is the one party where somebody must have got sick. But you don't talk about the 999,999 where nobody did get sick. Like I said, it's all an agenda and it's all a narrative to incite fear, to push people to the end to get this vaccine, of which I do not recommend. Don't even let it come close to you. And they're paying, and what they're trying to do is manipulate people who are poor. And even if you look at the vaccine, so Bill Gates is also heavily invested in this, and Bill Gates is known to be a fan of eugenics. And
oh my God, girl.
So the people that they want in these vaccine trials are minorities, the elderly, and people with chronic conditions. So if you're thinking from population control, who would you want to kill off? Who do you, the society, deem not valuable? Minorities, the elderly, and people that's already chronically ill because you think they're pulling from the system. Those are the people they want in the trials. How interesting is that? And then they're going to the colleges, even HBCUs, trying to recruit our bright, intelligent young people to be a part of these trials, give them, you know, promise them some type of money. They're doing the trials. I was even reading yesterday, some pharmaceutical company over in Oxford, University of Oxford, in Britain, they didn't go and study the vaccine in Britain. They're injecting it to people down in Johannesburg, South Africa. And so think about that. If you in freaking Oxford in Britain, why aren't you using your own people to do your vaccine trials? Why are you taking it down to South Africa to do it in the Africans? So all of that, you know, you just got to really open your eyes and really truly see what's going on, because it's all a joke.
Girl, I'm right there with you.
If you want to be seen, you have to stop being invisible to opportunity. I'm Kay Henry, licensed mental health counselor and host of Black Therapy Uncensored. Your prescription to positivity starts here.
Did you know that the average person carries around 5 to 20 pounds of fecal matter in their intestines, depending on their diet? Some people are walking around feeling sluggish, constipated, unable to lose weight, skin issues, and allergies, all because of the toxins that are in their intestines. Listen, life gives us enough battles to fight. Your health shouldn't be one of those. If you change your mindset on how you actually view food, you will never have to worry about your health or weight again. I'm Ashley, owner of She Loves Wellness. I help people transition into a healthy lifestyle. I offer tips, recipe, and supplement kits to jumpstart your lifestyle change. Visit me on Facebook and IG at She Loves Wellness for your product information and samples. Don't forget, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change.
It has been a joy and a pleasure having you on the show today, Tamika. We're going to wrap things up, you guys, but off the air, I've already invited her back to be on the show again, just so you know, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a lot of questions from you guys about what some of the stuff that she was saying. So we'll bring her back again so she can answer some of those questions. But in the meantime, I'm going to allow her to give you guys her contact information for those of you that want to reach out to her. And if you're in her area, you can actually maybe set up an appointment to go see her as well.
Okay. So I have two office locations. One is in Flint, Michigan. That address is G3535 Beecher Road in Flint. And the office number is 810-553-9088. And then the other office in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, just south of Pontiac, Michigan, is 43494 Woodward Avenue, Bloomfield Hills. Phone number is 248-481-4241. You can also check us out on our website, www.synergy.com. So that's synergy913.com. I'm also on Facebook. You can like us there as well too. Hope to hear from you all soon.
Okay, so you guys, you know, we write an article about all of our guests, so you can find all of Tamika's information on our NRI Wellness website under the About Guests panel, as well as check our Facebook page, 10 Dimensions of Wellness. It's a group on Facebook. Join that for after the podcast. We post the article in there, and a lot of our guests are members of that group, so you can always reach out and find them in there as well. So we have a few questions that we're going to wrap up our show with for you today. The first question is, what's been the biggest surprise you've had in the last few months?
The biggest surprise is the fact that they would take away a patient's right to be treated. I never thought in a million years that that would ever happen. But patients have certain rights, and one of them is the right to treatment. And the fact that they took away a patient's right to treatment just.
It's sad. It's left you speechless.
I have no words. I would have never thought that would have happened.
Wow. Okay. So what have you learned in the last 10 years that you wish you'd known 10 years ago? I'm sorry. Let me reword that. What have you know now that you wish you'd learned 10 years ago?
I wish I would have known 10 years ago, about holistic wellness. I think about some of the patients that I did come across, you know, 10 years ago. That I didn't have the understanding, you know? And so I just remember just following guidelines, the standards of care, you know, pushing all these drugs and, you know, even being a champion of drugs. I mean, I used to be a speaker for medication before. And so now knowing what I know, I mean, I wish, you know, I could have did something different, but you know, hindsight is 2020.
Okay, what inspires you and makes you feel like your best self?
What inspires me is when I see my patients walk in wellness and truth. When I have patients that come to me and they had some crazy health complications or issues going on, and they've been to 50,000 doctors and nobody can figure it out. And then God reveals to me what's going on, and I can lay out this holistic wellness plan and see the chronic disease reverse, see the conditions. I mean, all that go away, and to have patients come up with that testimony that they got their life back, that is the most rewarding experience ever. And it lets me know that my labor of love is not in vain. So just walking truth and getting their life back.
I know, that's right. Now, this is our last question. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it say and why?
Oh my gosh. What would it say and why? If I had a billboard with anything on it, and I'm acting like I'm answering an exam question. Thank you so much. But one thing I would say probably is God is faithful. And the reason why I would put that on there is because we all go through different seasons and storms in our life. And there's also times where we even felt like God has left us or abandoned us or didn't hear our cry or didn't answer our prayer. But to just remind people that God is faithful. And that reminder, knowing that he's faithful and knowing that he's still on the throne and knowing that he's in control, can give you hope. Because without God, there is none.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that. Well, you guys, this has been another fantastic episode of the 10 Dimensions of Wellness. Again, Tamika, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence.
Thanks for having me, Cammie. It's been wonderful.
Girl, I told you I've been dying for this interview. I am beyond excited, and I'm just beyond grateful that you even gave us your time. So you guys, you can listen to the 10 Dimensions of Wellness on Spotify, Anchor FM, Pandora, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and a plethora of other audio platforms. You can also catch it on our YouTube channel, NRI Wellness. Don't forget to join our Facebook group, 10 Dimensions of Wellness, for after the podcast. A lot of our podcast guests are in there. They post classes, they do different types of activities. You can connect with them there as well. So again, it's been a pleasure having this show. Thank you for listening again to the 10 Dimensions of Wellness, and you all have a great evening.
NRI Wellness brings you the latest health and nutrition information, creates customized nutrition programs, and walks you through the process to ensure your success.